Welcome to the second hour's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Child Care Study on TAP, the Early Childhood Action Network, part of the Education Partnership of the Permian Basin, has started laying the groundwork for a study of daycare availability and quality. The landscape analysis was mentioned as part of an ECAN meeting at the Regional 18 Education Service Center Wednesday. Education Partnership Program Coordinator Mike Mills said childcare is directly connected with workforce. He added that there are a lot of desert areas throughout the Permian Basin which are directly impacting the economy, the job market, and small businesses and large businesses. So it's a big piece of information to understand what's going on, Mills said. Development Coordinator Becky Myers said other items to be covered in the analysis are the number of child care centers, their capacity, and how many are Texas Rising Star Quality certified. Myers said this will set a baseline, and then we can set goals for how many to add or help the existing ones to get their credentialing for quality and certification. Also, find out how many 3- and 4-year-olds qualify for pre-kindergarten and how many are currently being served in the largest school districts. Head Start, Early Head Start numbers, the Pre-Kindergarten Partnership, and the Texas Education Agency and Workforce Commission have put out formally or informally. We're assessing those. An example of both of those is the Midland College Pre-K Academy and the Odessa Y Early Learning Center. Right now, that's our baseline, so we can always increase and add on. The wage gap analysis for child care centers and staff down to director certification and all of the components that are going into certifying for good child care directors, Meyer said. She added that the information will be part of a research study. There will definitely be several community conversations once we have the findings, publicly and probably on various platforms, Myers said. We've started the initial research, so December through April. So by May, at the latest, the community conversations should be ready to be had, she added. Breaking up into small groups, the Early Childhood Action Network went through several scenarios of families and people who needed help and discussing what agencies they could use. Those attending in person worked together, and those attending via Zoom also worked together. Mill said the idea was to raise awareness of all of the resources available in the Permian Basin. Separately, Mill said, since Educate Midland and the Education Partnership have merged, they are now working on a strategic plan that those who attended the ECAN meeting may be contacted about. The organization will also be moving into the Region 18 Annex building across the street from the main complex, hopefully in January, Mills said. The 1,500-square-foot building is being built out now. Quick hits help filling the empty stocking. The Empty Stocking Fund needs your help to reach this year's goal of $100,000 with only 8 days left to give. A generous matching challenge from the Sewell family of companies has been offered to match donations up to $50,000. Funds stay in Ector County and help needy families like that of the Tripp family. Unemployment has impacted this family in 2021, and the father recently started working but needs to catch up on bills. This family can be helped through the Empty Stocking Fund, an annual fundraiser effort by the Odessa American and the Salvation Army. Empty stocking funds go for a good holiday meal and small gifts under the tree. Donations to the Empty Stocking Fund may be mailed or delivered to the Salvation Army Community Center, 810 East 11th Street, or the Odessa American, 700 North Grant, Suite 800. Zip codes for both are 79761. Call the Salvation Army at 332-0738. The Empty Stocking Fund was created by the Odessa American in 1995 and has raised more than $2.1 million. Donate online at https://give.salvationarmytexas.org/give/371871/pound!donation/checkout. COVID-19 by the numbers. Ector County, 26,823 total cases, 556 deaths. ECISD daily cases, 4 students, 0 staff. Midland County, 29,781 total cases, 390 deaths. Texas, 4,361,295 total cases, 74,278 deaths. U.S. cases, 49,322,567 total confirmed and 788,903 deaths. Find out more at covidinthebasin.com or the CDC site at tinyurl.com/TZTRJLF. See the ECISD COVID-19 dashboard at tinyurl.com/Y6NTPTUQ. Synergy sets events. Synergy Movie Theater has started its annual toy drive at all locations, which will run through December 20th. Guests that donate will get a $5 game card or a free popcorn. They also will have their first ever 12 Days of Christmas promotion December 20th through 31st with different specials or events daily. Visit https://synergy.com/12daysofchristmas/ to see the specials by day. Lastly, with the release of Spider-Man No Way Home next week, theaters will have meet and greets with Spider-Man opening weekend at all locations. String Quartet Performance. Permian Basin's String Quartet is scheduled to perform from 11:30 a.m. to 12:30 a.m. today at the Petroleum Museum, 1500 I-20 Midland. The Permian Basin String Quartet is the resident quartet of the Midland Odessa Symphony and Chorale and is comprised of the principal string players of the orchestra. The quartet members are Amy Huzjak, Alejandro Bomez Guillen, Sarah Cranor, and Conrad Sklar. Drinks and desserts will be provided. Admission is free. Visit tinyurl.com/4S8KHUAB. Art Talk. Ella Noel Art Museum, 4904 East University Boulevard, has scheduled an Art Talk event at 6 p.m. today. Discuss about the selected work from the Ellen Noel Art Museum Permanent Collection of Artwork. For more information, call 432-550-9696 or visit www.noelartmuseum.org. Town Hall Events. State Representative Brooks Landgraf has scheduled a town hall from 6 p.m. to 7:30 p.m. today at Poor Daddy's Barbecue, 123 North Mulberry Street, Kermit. Landgraf will discuss the 2021 legislative sessions. For more information, visit tinyurl.com/5FJV3C6F. Active Shooter Getting Out Alive. Sunset Heights Baptist Church, 2401 West 16th Street, has scheduled an active shooter Getting Out Alive from 6:30 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. today. Pre-registration is required for this event. The event is free and open to the public. For more information, visit tinyurl.com/2S3FKR3V. Junior League Odessa horse-drawn carriage rides. The Junior League of Odessa will once again be hosting horse-drawn carriage rides through Shiloh in Emerald Forest, a press release stated. This will be the fourth year JLO has offered carriage rides to the community. This year, there will be six different evenings of rides. Each ride is about 20 minutes long. The event will be held on today through Saturday and December 14th through 16th. The rides begin each evening at 6:30 p.m. and the last ride will be at 8:50 p.m. Available carriages have seating for 4, 6, and 12 people. Tickets are now on sale for the community. All of the proceeds raised from ticket sales will benefit JLO. Food trucks will also be available on site. For more information, call 432-332-0095 or email carriages@jloodessa.org. We Need Christmas. Compassion will present Matthew West, We Need Christmas, today at the Andrews County Expo, 1441 Texas 176 Andrews. Doors open at 6 p.m. for VIP and concert starts at 7 p.m. VIP is $50. General admission is $25 in advance or $30 at the door, and groups $22 for 10 plus. For tickets or more information, call 432-664-4910 or wycd.org or tinyurl.com/A8Z4AWVA. Mariachi Christmas. The Hispanic Cultural Center of Midland will present UTRGV Mariachi Atzlan and Ballet Folklorico Mariachi Christmas at 6:30 p.m. today at the Wagner Noel Performing Arts Center, 1310 North FM, 1788 Midland. Cost is $25 for adults and $10 for children under 12. For more information, email hispanicculturalcenter@gmail.com or visit tinyurl.com/JHWEU4WF. Board hears STEM Academy proposal. Members of the Ector County ISD Board of Trustees heard about a possible partnership with the University of Texas STEM Academy on Tuesday. The board will consider approving starting negotiations next Tuesday. If the proposal goes forward, a contract will be brought back to the board in March. Trustees Nelson Minyard and Delma Avalos were absent. At the December 7th meeting, the board seemed agreeable to the partnership and its programs. The team from STEM Academy was on hand in case trustees had further questions. Through ECISD's call for quality schools, UTPB STEM successfully completed a rigorous process conducted by a diverse committee that included an application screening, partner capacity interview, and overall evaluation using a TEA model rubric. ECISD and the University of Texas Permian Basin have a strong partnership represented by student dual credit offerings, opportunity culture, collaboration, talent pipeline support, and career and technical education offerings. Supplemental agenda material stated, the partnership with STEM Academy will allow ECISD to expand high-quality choice offerings to students in the district with a chance to learn on the campus of UTPB. Superintendent Shannon Davidson said the campus, which is a university charter, is serving students from Ector and Midland counties. Currently, the school has 770 students and 39 teachers in grades kinder through 12. The charter is delegated to the president of UTPB and is approved for an enrollment up to 3,900 students, the board recap said. The UTPB STEM calendar is 180 days of instruction from 7:50 a.m. to 2:15 p.m., Monday through Thursday. On Fridays, the school dismisses at noon. The early dismissals allow students to continue learning online, work with tutors and interventions, and allow professional development for staff, the recap said. The school uses project-based and STEM-based learning. A partnership would give UTPB STEM students access to ECISD's fine arts and athletics. The district would also help with facilities, counseling services, transportation, and food services, the recap said. Davidson said STEM Academy is a one-to-one campus, so all students have a computer or tablet. The Texas Essential Knowledge and Skills, TECS, is the curriculum. The school is STEM-based, and there are three pathways offered for high school: biomedical, engineering, and computer programming. All pathways provide situational learning experiences, Davidson said. In 2021, the campus had a 95% graduation rate. Dual credit with University of Texas Permian Basin also is promoted, and courses are paid for by the STEM Academy. Davidson said parent partnerships are truly the backbone of our students' success. 97% of the STEM Academy's revenue comes from student attendance, with 3% from federal grants, Davidson said. Assistant Superintendent of Student and School Support, Alicia Siverson, said the benefits to ECISD would be that the partnership would provide an additional school choice option for ECISD families. It would provide a future middle school option, a collaborative partnership with shared resources. It would create a sense of post-secondary belief and hope, she said. Siverson said Tuesday night was just a presentation, and before they engage in any negotiations, they want to have the board's blessing. Superintendent Scott Murray said the partnership has been an ongoing discussion. Siverson said it would be an opportunity for incoming kindergartners. Davidson said STEM Academy generally has more openings in high school because students leave for athletics and fine arts. Murray said part of the partnership would include working with STEM Academy to address facility needs. Right now, he said, the school's facilities can last for a short time. Having more space would allow STEM Academy to increase its capacity, Murray said. I think it would be good for the whole community, Davidson said. On a separate item, trustees heard a presentation on early childhood education. Kindergarten readiness is one of ECISD's strategic priorities, and that can be measured in several ways: physical, gross, and fine motor skills, literacy, reading and writing, mathematical, concepts and thinking, language and communication, and health and wellness, the recap said. According to figures from the meeting, 33.2% of students are kindergarten ready. The goal was 40% for the 2021 school year, but the statistics are 2 years behind, Executive Director of Curriculum and Instruction Jamie Miller said. To improve kindergarten readiness, ECISD added a 3-year-old pre-kindergarten program, opening PK3 classrooms at Carver and Lamar Early Childhood Centers, and through an innovative partnership with the Odessa Family YMCA. Those schools, combined with the PC3 program at Austin Montessori, 396 students are enrolled now, the recap said. Another avenue to improve kindergarten readiness was begun a year ago when ECISD expanded PK4 to a full day of instruction, the recap said. This year, PK4 is available at 18 campuses across ECISD with an enrollment of 1,331. Student progress is tracked through the use of the Circle Assessment and personalized professional learning for pre-K teachers, the recap said. The board also heard an update on several services delivered by ECISD's Special Education Department. The primary disability categories are autism, intellectual disability, specific learning disability, and speech-language impairment. There are 3,156 students receiving special education services this year, more than the 3,040 a year ago. The recap said more than 1,400 students received speech therapy, and one method is speech teletherapy. It is offered at 10 elementary schools and one middle school for 485 students who were part of more than 14,685 sessions, the recap said. The Transition Learning Center 18+ is located near Odessa High School and trains students for the workplace and life after high school. ECISD hosts the Regional Day School for the Deaf, serving 21 area school districts. Results-driven accountability shows the program to be at performance level 3 for academic data and performance level 2 for graduation rate, dropout rate, and disciplinary removal rate. The best rating is level 1, the recap said. The Texas Education Agency desk review of student files found ECISD compliant in all 15 of the 15 reviews. Obituary, Nicholas Nick Rodriguez, Midland. Nicholas Nick Rodriguez, Jr., 76, passed away on December 3rd in Midland, Texas. Nick was born in Midland to Dominga and Nicholas Rodriguez on September 28, 1945. He was preceded in death by his parents, his wife, Mary Elena, and his brother Ernesto. Survivors include his brother, Rosendo Rodriguez, 5 children, Nicholas Rodriguez III, and wife, Teresa of Midland, Sandra Diaz, and husband, Jesus of Edmond, Oklahoma, Yvonne Rodriguez of Midland, Joanne Rios, and husband, Robert of Midland, and Dolores Ramirez of Midland, survived by many grandchildren and nieces and nephews. A graveside service will be held at American Heritage Cemetery Friday, December 10th at 11 a.m. Arrangements are by American Heritage Cemetery Funeral Home. Death notices. Bradley N. Berry, Odessa. Bradley N. Berry, 87, of Odessa, died Sunday, November 28th in Odessa. Celebration of life is scheduled for 11 a.m. Friday, December 10th at Martinez Funeral Home Chapel. Burial will follow at Sunset Memorial Gardens Monument Section. Dr. Nathan Hearn is officiating. Arrangements are by Martinez Funeral Home and Crematory of Odessa. Donald Wayne Cole, Odessa. Donald Wayne Cole, 66, of Odessa, died Thursday, November 25th in Odessa. Funeral service is scheduled for 10 a.m. December 10th at Martinez Funeral Home. Burial will follow at Ector County Cemetery. Arrangements are by Martinez Funeral Home and Crematory of Odessa. Kenny Thompson, Odessa. Kenny Thompson, 44, of Odessa, died Saturday, December 4th in Odessa. Celebration of life is scheduled for 2 p.m. December 10th at Acres West Funeral Chapel. Arrangements are by Acres West Funeral Chapel of Odessa. Betty Jean Totsky, Odessa. Betty Jean Totsky, 71, of Odessa, died Friday, December 3rd in Odessa. Funeral service is scheduled for 1 p.m. December 9th at the American Heritage Funeral Home. Burial immediately following at American Heritage Cemetery. Arrangements are by American Heritage Cemetery Funeral Home Crematory of Midland. What exactly is tinnitus? Dear Dr. Roach, what exactly is tinnitus? What causes it? Is there a cure? Is there a treatment? What should be avoided to improve this condition? MF. Answer. Tinnitus is simply the sensation of sound in or near the head when there is no external source of noise. It is usually described as a ringing or buzzing sound and may be in one or both ears. It is extremely common, 50 million people in the U.S., and almost always goes along with hearing loss. Beyond that, the cause is not known. Unfortunately for most people, there is no cure for tinnitus. The goal of therapy is to lessen symptoms and to treat any associated conditions, especially anxiety, depression, and sleep disturbances, all of which are common in people with severe tinnitus. I recommend the American Tinnitus Association for more advice at www.ata.org.
Here is the Dear Abby column for Thursday, December 9th. Divorced Dad Carries Torch 10 Years Later. Dear Abby, I am a 45-year-old divorced father of three. Two of them I share with my ex-wife. We were married for 14 years and have been divorced for 10 years now. Our marriage started falling apart when I became addicted to prescription pain medication. I was using for a couple of years, but I'm sober now. Our divorce was amicable, and I think we still maintain a great friendship. We call each other occasionally and talk about things other than the kids. After our divorce, we both dated and moved in with other people. I am currently single. She's still in a relationship. She recently called and asked me for advice because she's not happy in her current relationship. I have never stopped loving her, but I don't want to take advantage of her present situation. My kids know how I feel, and so do my friends, so she probably does too. Would it be wrong of me to try to rekindle what we once had, even if there's the slightest chance of she and her current partner working through their issues? I'm not sure she feels the same way about me as I do her. Signed, Torn in Wisconsin. Dear Torn, when your ex-wife called to tell you things aren't going well between her and her current partner, she opened the door to you doing what you are contemplating. If they are not married, you have every right to tell her you have never stopped loving her and ask if she might have similar feelings. If she doesn't, it would be better for you to know that. But if her answer is yes, it would be worth a try. Dear Abby, my husband and I always planned on retiring to Florida. Our son, who is married with children, has been diagnosed with a slow progressing but deadly disease. My husband still wants to move, but now I am not sure. Our son says we should live our life because we worked hard to retire and should go. I don't know if I could be happy that far away from him and his family now. Please advise me. Signed, Hesitant Grandma in Ohio. Dear Hesitant Grandma, I am sorry for the pain you were experiencing regarding your son's diagnosis. Your husband wants to make the move, and your son has told you he does not want you to change your plans. If it's financially feasible, it might make sense for you and your husband to rent a place in Florida for a year, and, depending on how well your son is doing, decide later if you want to make it permanent. Perhaps your husband could go ahead without you if you choose to stay behind. Dear Abby, I have just moved into a room in a shared house. I like the location and my three roommates. In the course of my interview, the screening process to see if I'd be a good fit for the house, I neglected to mention that I have a girlfriend. Naturally, I'd like to have her see the place, meet my roommates, and sleep over, but I also don't want to ruffle any feathers or be premature in having company over. When would be an appropriate time to have this discussion with them? Signed, Pondering in the Presidio. Dear Pondering, if you want a good relationship with your roommates, now would be a good time to raise the subject. If you do, you may be pleasantly surprised to find they have no objection. If they did, they should have mentioned something during your interview.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.